If you have your Bible, open it to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Today I'll preach on Cain and Abel, about faith. Next week it's going to be about David going after God's own heart. And then after that will be Esther, fearless faith in a secular world. And then after that, Peter, surrender. And then after that, Sifu will come back, and he will tell us about Thailand. And you were playing up here, Louis, and I'm thinking about you. You should give us a report about your missions trip, too. Dr. Christopher and I would love to hear that, because we want to stir up the imagination of our people and all that. So please think about it, and unless you already did it, not yet. So why don't you think about it and talk to me, and I'll give you time to do it. Because when Dr. Christopher and his wife come back, we will want to hear from them. So think about it, Louis. Cain and Abel, Genesis 4. Now Adam, I'm reading from the King James. Some of you are reading from the NIV, and you are smiling. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord, from Yahweh, actually. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry. His countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Lord God, you are a gracious God. You are a God full of love. And many times we do not understand your working. As I preach, Lord, I am grateful that you would use me. Nevertheless, I ask you to speak to me and through me, and I ask that you intervene and you are free to speak to any hearts about your love, about your election, about whether or not certain ones have or have not been chosen. For it is for your glory that this word is preached out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, if you are reading the NIV, it says, and Adam, using a Hmong word, slept with his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. When I was at seminary, the Unification Church, also known as the Moonies, were not far from our school. And we were doing world religion. And so our professor invited the professor over. And the main difference, which made them a true cult, is that they believe that Cain was the devil's child. They did not see first one. They didn't read the NIV. It says, Adam made love with Eve and they can see, right? Isn't that what it says right there? That's why I chose the King James. It says, Adam knew Eve. I also purposely chose the King James because the word knew is used throughout the Bible. And when the Lord wants to know you, he wants to know you intimately, like a husband and a wife know each other. He wants you that way in a spiritual sense. There is that intimate relationship with God. That is why he hates sin. And when you sin, it's like God's wife cheated on him. That is why he hates sin. And so throughout the Bible, many times the word know really means to have intimacy. It's right there that Adam and Eve had intimacy and she conceived. So number one, Cain was definitely not a child of the devil. Number two, if Cain was a child of the devil, God would not have attempted to save him. He came and he tried to save the guy. If the guy had been the devil's child, God would just left him alone. He was really too far gone. But at this point, he was still savable. At this point, he was savable. He was not savable. He was completely taken over by the devil only after he refused God's advice. Only after he refused God's correction that he became the devil's child. That was the proof. Today we're going to speak about a hardened heart, about faith, and about what does that mean to you and to me? In particular, is the calling of God. So as we read here, Cain was actually the first to think about giving God an offering, right? It mentioned first that Abel was a shepherd. And then secondarily, that Cain was a farmer. But when it comes to the offering of gift to God, it mentioned Cain first. And then it says, then Abel also brought. So the desire was in Cain. So the problem for you and me is to discern, why then was Cain not accepted? Why then was Cain not accepted? Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Faith. Both of them have faith, right? I mean, if Cain did not have faith, he would not have offered an offering. He did have faith. So what was the problem? We will go on and we'll read Hebrews 11:6, a few words after that. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So here I obviously read from the NIV. In other translation, it would have read, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because to the one who comes to Him, and not anyone, but the one coming to Him, must believe that He, God, exists. And to those earnestly seeking Him, a rewarder God becomes." So if we really pray about it, think about it, and I kept asking God, what was wrong with Cain? And it's that last part. It is that earnestly seeking God. Obviously, Cain was seeking, but not earnestly. Cain, like all founders of religions, right, he wanted a God that would serve him instead of a God that he can serve. He wanted a God who would bless him here on the earth. And so he made his offering, but he did not earnestly seek God, because when God spoke to him, he refused. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. He refused God's correction. He really had a chance to be the first prophet. When God speaks to you, He wants to make you a prophet. A prophet is nothing more than someone who hears from God and speaks to others. He had a chance to be that, but he had his own agenda. It's not that he wanted to mold himself after God, but he wanted God to mold after him. And so when God said, "Sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it." But more so, it's when God says, "If you do well, you will be accepted. If you do well, you will be accepted." He didn't care. I already did what I could. No, sometimes God wanted you to do more than what you can. You have to go to God and say, "That's all I can, Daddy. Give me more strength so that I can do what you want me to do. Not my strength, but yours. Not my faith, but your faith." So that is the difference. Cain also had faith. His faith was human faith. And Abel's faith, it's not even godly faith. It is the faith of God. It is the faith of God. Jesus said that when Jesus cursed the fig tree and it died, Peter said, "Lord, look, the tree you cursed is completely dead." And Jesus said, "Have the faith of God." Many translations say, "Have the faith from God." And they're pretty close, but technically, the faith of God is different than the faith from God, right? It's kind of like, yeah, all these cars belong to this guy because he's selling them, right? But this one is the one he drives. It's like that. It is the faith of God that you and I must have. Many scholars deduce from when God pronounced the judgment, and by grace he killed lambs and made clothing for Adam and Eve after the fall. Many scholars said, well, God must have told them the right worship right there. It's not in Scripture. It's not in Scripture. So I pray and pray, and the Lord said, when he is doing something new, he give his servant the new word. And people obeyed. There were just four of them at that point. They were beginning to worship God, and he was showing Abel the right worship by faith. It is by faith. It is a faith that God gave to Abel. And he was able to realize, well, to worship God, I must kill a lamb. It just says his flock. It could be a lamb, could be a goat, could be a cow, a bull, but one of the sacrificial animals. Later on, God would then say, there is no remission of sin except by the shedding of blood. See? Abel was starting a path towards salvation. He didn't know, but it's by faith that he was able to discern and do the right thing. That is why Habakkuk 2:4 says, the righteous will live by his faithfulness. It's the faithfulness to God. And Paul then said, oh, that faithfulness is faith. So when he wrote to us in 2 Corinthians, in Romans, he then said, the righteous will live by faith. So faithfulness to God becomes faith of God. We're starting a new, kind of like a new church, right? But our vision is new. We try to be a church that is different than other churches. We want to hear from God. We want to display his glory, not just in word, not just in preaching, but we said we want people to walk in here and feel the presence of God. And God will do that because he has given us that faith. Hannah, Samuel's mother, was the first to say, God raises the dead. We are told that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac back. In Hebrew, we are told that. It wasn't back in the Old Testament. The first Old Testament recording of a person saying God will raise the dead is Hannah, Samuel's mom. Nobody ever raised the dead before that. God never did that before. But by faith, she prophesied. So I told your parents, don't say I'm too old for God to use, because God used anyone. And you, surely, you are still young, full of strength. Lee's not here. Don't say I can't go to Laos. No, when God put the desire in you, it is impossible not to go, whether it be Laos, Siberia, or Mexico. When God put the faith in you, you will go. So I do not want us at Eternal Life to put God in a box. You know, God is... God is a very polite God. If you put him in a box, he'll stay in that box. Had all the power in the universe to break out, but you and I are not ready for him. And so, all right, Daniel, if you're not ready to see my glory, I'll remain in this box until you're ready. So I want us to be a people ready for God to use, however he wants to use. Maybe it's Laos. Maybe it's just the neighbor next door. Maybe it's the co-worker, that harsh boss, Yeah, I have had some good boss and some harsh boss. Faith is from God. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul says that. But before he said that, he said, salvation is so easy. He said, it is in your mouth if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Very simple, very easy. And yet, he then says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We all came to faith just by confession. But at some point, if you think back, you remember our pastor has been saying since he came here, ask God, am I saved? Am I really yours? And he will do that. He will come on you and he will make you shake with fear. Because it's not a fear which prevents you from approaching him, but it's the fear that you might have hidden sin that you don't know. And so you go to God and say, Lord, am I completely yours? We all love to hear from God. We all love to be the recipient of God's verbal communication. Cain did. Didn't do him any good. So this morning I told our pastor, don't feel bad if your people don't listen to you, because God came down and spoke and the audience didn't listen. Sorry, I'm harsh. I don't want us to be a church that year after year remain the same. God doesn't remain the same. He's ready to move. He's not requiring 1,000 members. He's just requiring one completely sold out to him. If our pastor is ready, but we, the congregation, are not ready, this church will not see the glory. It has to be a unit, a body, one body. Together. If the church is ready and pastor and I aren't ready, you won't see the glory in its fullness either. It's one body. That's one body. I think we completely miss out the point when Paul says we are a body. But we have really exemplified some part of that. You know, the two funerals that we have done it with the love of God, with sacrifice, and so God has been glorified. But that's not it. That's not all. We have to go beyond that. Each one of us will place ourselves in God's hand and say, examine me. Is there anything in me that is keeping your body from displaying your glory? Is it me? Is it me? Am I that guy that hit the Babylonian coat and the two pieces of gold? Am I that guy? I do that. I told you guys are writing the Bible in heaven, right? I don't want one day to say, yeah, I was ready to bless eternal life, but Daniel Yang hit something. Don't want that. I'm sure you don't want that either. Jude tell us a little bit about why Cain was not chosen. Right? I already mentioned that Cain had the faith of a human, while Abel had the faith of God. And before I get to Jude, I don't want to skip this. So I was struggling about Cain being spoken by God and was not saved. And I just kept praying, and then the Holy Spirit said, well, your Lord says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. He also went on to show me that it is at worship that God shows who is chosen and who is not. It wasn't while they were out in the field, right, one's shepherding, the other was tilling the ground, that God showed them who's chosen and who's not. It's during worship. It's during worship that God said, yes, Abel has my heart, and Cain does not. But he did go and correct Cain. But Cain proved himself to be unworthy of the calling. In our time, God primarily speak to you as you read the Bible or as you listen to a sermon. You have every right to go to God and say, Lord, is Daniel right on the word today? Is Christopher right on the word today? You should do that. But if God confirms, you better listen, because he no longer comes down and speak all the time anymore, except through his servants. So you have every right to judge my sermon or Dr. Christopher's sermon, but if you judge it right, you better follow it. Because once God's spoken, your faith is sealed. Jude tells us that Cain had a foul mouth. And that was why he could not accept God's correction. That was why the stronghold took hold of him, and he then proved himself to be part of the devils. Not that God had done anything, but for whatever reason, he chose to be a foul mouth. And so let me read from Jude, verse 11. The verse before that is actually what tells us about the foul mouth. Jude 11. Woe to them, for they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's errors. And they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So rebellion is in Cain's heart. Prophet here on the earth is in Cain's heart. But the verse before that said that these people will badmouth anything and everything, whereas the angel Michael would not even curse the devil when they were fighting for Moses' body. He would only say, the Lord rebuked you. So that points us to a king who was readily using his mouth for anything and everything. I have, for a long time, asked the Lord to help me to keep my mouth clean. I can't use this mouth to sing praises of God and also to sing the praise of the devil. Yeah, when you curse, you are singing the praise of the devil. So keep your mouth clean so that you won't follow in the way of Cain. I don't know what you are like at home. Only you know. Maybe your wife or your husband don't even know the true you. But you know who you are. And just say, Lord, I really hate this part of me. Take it away from me. You can. And he will. He will. Your mouth cannot both praise God and also praise the devil. It's very easy for you Americans. It's very easy for this generation. It's part of your common language. When I was your age, when I was growing up, we spoke decently. But it seemed like in 2016, 2017, people have a very liberal use of words that we never used before. But you are a child of God. The Lord Jesus himself says, every idle word that you and I speak, we will have to account for. Idle words. Leave alone. Curses, right? So, remember that. Also, for application, for Cain to do what is right meant to let go of the anger. His own brother. And we know there are only two of them, right? But the Bible made sure we know that Abel is Cain's brother. Every single reference, it says Abel, his brother Abel, so that we don't forget that he is supposed to love his brother, but he killed him. He was not able to let go of the anger that he had. The sin was offering itself to him, and he took it, and he couldn't let go. Don't know what you are struggling with. Pretty sure in an audience this big, there will be a few who are touched by this sermon. It's not up to you to cleanse yourself. The Lord Jesus will do it if you will let him. But he will only do it if you let him. If you say, don't touch this part of my life, he will not touch it with a 10-foot pole until you are ready. But don't feel bad. Before I became your pastor, I don't know how many times I walked down the aisle. And even after I became your pastor, I don't know how many times I kneeled before him and said, Lord, I messed up again. Forgive me. Help me. His blood covers you. But there is victory, though. You do it. You do it. And then one day, it's a mystery. There are things that is very easily removed from you that you can set yourself free from. But there are other things that he really had to step in. The greatest thing that will help you stay clean is the presence of the Lord himself. You will realize that his presence is a greater joy than the hobby, than the addiction, whether it be drug, alcohol, pornography, sports, whatever, you will suddenly realize, oh, Lord, truly, your love is better than life. And then you will, he'll give you that joy. Then you can have victory. But just to fight the addiction, you lose. Just give it to him. See, Cain did not give it up. So even though Abel was his own brother, he would rather kill. So look, deep inside you, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and he's pointing out things that you must let go. I said, Lord Jesus, it's yours. Take it away. I want to be clean. I want to be a prophet for you. I want to hear from you and speak for you. I want to be a host of your glory in this church. God bless you.